What are the assumptions then behind the Black-Scholes model? And these are the same assumptions that are behind the binomial model. No riskless arbitrage opportunities. We always start with that one. Perfect markets. And in the Black-Scholes model, it's extended in an extreme form to the idea that you can trade continuously without trading costs. I mean, you have to pay for what you buy, but you don't have to pay the broker. There's a little change every instant. We're going to have to keep revising our deltas to stay on target to replicate the option. Certainty of future riskless and payout returns. We know what they are in advance. They can change with time, but we have to know in advance what they are, only time dependence. So I know in the future, when I reach a certain node along a vertical slice, what that riskless return will be, even though it's different from what it is today. That's okay. But I have to know what it is. At the beginning of the tree, I have to know in advance what the volatility is along every vertical slice. It can be different, but only vertically. I can't allow the volatility to be high up in this part of the tree and low down here. Then I don't have the Black-Scholes model anymore. No asset price jumps. Remember how U and D were set up? U and D were set up so that as the number of steps went to infinity, U and D got closer and closer to 1. That meant the very next move had to be very, very small. No jumps. So when we talked about the third fundamental theorem of financial economics earlier, if there were an incomplete market, under certain conditions, you could make up for the missing securities by taking a portfolio of the existing securities, revising that portfolio through time, and creating whatever payoff was apparently missing from the markets because the securities weren't there. And an example of that is these assumptions. Under these assumptions, you can take a portfolio that contains just the underlying asset and cash. Those are the only two securities that have to be around. You can create any payoff you want that's a function of the underlying asset price. What about these assumptions? Do they bother you? And if you're bothered, then you want to be very careful how you use it. You got to be careful that when you use it, that the assumptions are more or less met. And if they're not met, you want to be aware. Well, even though I'm using this model, it tends to go wrong in these situations. That's a very useful thing to know. Give me some of your opinions. What assumptions here bother you?
No asset price jumps come out of perfect markets because you...
No. Why do you say that?
Well, because I would think that you wouldn't get asset price jumps if you can trade at every possible instant and there's never a liquidity problem.
Here's how it could happen. Let's suppose you can trade at every possible instant. That's fine. Let's suppose a new announcement comes out. Slobodan Milosevic has an atomic bomb and is about to retaliate. I shouldn't talk about that. Let's say something terrible happens, okay? And that's a new piece of news that just came out. Do you think the market is going to gradually go down and people will be able to trade in between wherever it is and 500 points lower? Probably not. In an efficient market, that news would come and be adjusted right away. The market would just plunge. There'd be no trading in the middle.